May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Those verses that Bracken read, let me read verse 38 and 39 again. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. We know that's about the indwelling Holy Spirit. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. For CTKers, sometime in the last year and a half, 2 years, we sort of launched into the book of Acts some. And I just got refascinated again with that early section in the book of Acts, because that verse in John says that the Holy Spirit would be poured out, be given, when Jesus was glorified. Jesus was glorified when he ascended to the right hand of the Father, when he was crowned king in heaven. And yet, in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus again reminds them of the promise that the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon them, that they would be witnesses, he told them to wait. And they waited for 10 days before the Holy Spirit filled them. It's always been a fascinating story to me, because the truth is that Jesus, when he departed after the 40 days after his resurrection, he was ascended, he was glorified. And so for 10 days, he was postured. All the requirements had been met for him to fill people with the Holy Spirit. And yet he told them to wait for 10 days. And if you know the story, from that point when they went to the upper room until Pentecost and the Spirit was poured out, an interesting story is told about how they decided at that time, during those 10-day period, they kind of had a spiritual business meeting, who was going to replace Judas. And so they cast lots and they chose Matthias. And it was significant that the Lord put that in the scripture, that between God saying, wait 10 days, and the Holy Spirit being poured out, filling them, that some things had to be brought into order. Now, it wasn't just about that the 12th disciple or apostle needed to be reestablished biblically. They could have done that afterwards. There was something that the Lord was trying to say, and that was that even though he was postured, he had been ascended, crowned King of Heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father for 10 days. Everything on his end, every requirement was met for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as even though he was postured, obviously they weren't yet postured. Now, understand, when he told them in Acts chapter 1 to go wait 10 days, he didn't tell them, go wait 10 days. He didn't say, no, after 10 days on Pentecost, I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit. There's no indication whatsoever. Now, they may have had some prophetic insight or thought it would be. I mean, these were fishermen. Most of them weren't great theologians. And we don't have any place in the scripture where Jesus filled them in about Pentecost, what was going to happen. All they knew is they were to wait. I don't know if they knew how long they were going to wait, how long it was going to take. That was irrelevant. The point was that they were to wait. And in that position, time of prayer, the Lord did some things, brought some things in order. And what we talked about a couple years ago, and just what I'm reminded of, is that the Lord is always postured to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He's always postured to keep filling you with the Holy Spirit. As you know, getting filled with the Holy Spirit is not a one-time thing. There may be the initial crisis when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's intended to be a perpetual reality. Be you continually filled with the Holy Spirit. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. We have accounts, we've said before, of Peter getting filled with the Holy Spirit 5 different times in the book of Acts. Just the point being, there's just always this fresh filling. And so the Lord's, and it's the Holy Spirit who glorifies Jesus in us. It's the Holy Spirit that makes real in us and through us the victorious life of the Lord. we've talked about this ad nauseum. There's only one person who can live the Christian life victoriously. His name is Jesus. He didn't come to live inside of you, to sit on a stool in the sidelines and cheer you on. He came in to take over. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes that a reality. But only when the Holy Spirit's filling us are we being filled with the life of Christ. You see, the point being is that the moment you become a Christian, you possess all that Jesus says. What Scripture says very clearly. You possess everything the Holy Spirit has, everything the Holy Spirit is. But the truth is, experientially, often he doesn't possess everything that we are. And even though you may possess all that he is, you'll never experience all that he is, but only to the degree that he possesses all that you are. And in that place in John 7, when it says Jesus, the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And I believe the principle there that's lived out in the book of Acts, that things had to be brought into order. That's just a spiritual reality, that there's things that had to be brought in order under the lordship of Jesus if he's going to pour out his Spirit continually on your life. Jesus was glorified and crowned King of Heaven, postured to pour out the Holy Spirit. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven, but only until he's glorified in your heart by being crowned the king of your life in the big and the small, will he pour out his Holy Spirit continuously in your life and mine. It's non-negotiable. Jesus didn't come to live inside of us. The Holy Spirit isn't there to be your advisor, to be your aid, to come alongside, kind of help you along. He doesn't want to be your co-pilot. He's king and Lord of all. And this isn't a word, I shared this devotional on Asmund Morris, this isn't a word to cause people to be morbidly introspective. There's a place, and I think it's Zephaniah, where it talks about the Lord taking out his lantern. It's this word that says, Lord, take out your lantern and search my heart. In the tenderness of your mercy, in light of your compassionate commitment to love me unconditionally, show me anything that I've rationalized, because it's the little foxes that usually ruin the vineyard. Lordship doesn't mean that you're fully committed, you're following Jesus, you're radical for him, you get all excited, you're real passionate, you can pray in tongues faster than anybody who's ever lived. It's practical. It's about, are you holding some stuff back? Are there attitudes, dispositions, relationships, whatever, that he's not king over? It's the little foxes. But again, he doesn't call you to introspection because you won't get it right. You'll usually go overboard or underboard. You won't go far enough or you'll go too far. That's how the enemy works, right? You just let him have permission to show you. So we talked about the two wings of the victorious life yesterday that we fly with, surrender and faith. But a life that says they live by faith, and yet Jesus isn't crowned king in the small and the big, is an empty life of faith. It's really a life of hyper-phoniness. Just language, memorized formulas, rote, crazy, charismatic confessions that don't really carry any kind of anointing at all. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.